John needed a fresh start. But Nicodemus, who is Nicodemus? What do we know about this man, Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a Pharisee. What do we know about someone who is a Pharisee? Well, they carefully obey all of God's laws. They carefully obey all of his laws. I don't know about you, but I'm someone who breaks all of the laws. Right? If there's a speed limit that says 55, I want to drive 60 or 65. If the speed limit says 70, I'm like 75 or 80, whatever it is. If the sign says that don't walk on the grass, I want to walk on that grass. Don't touch the paint. Yeah, I'm dumb enough. I will touch the paint. I want to touch it. Whatever the law says, I want to do the opposite. And nevertheless, just like Nicodemus, I consider myself to be a good person. And yet I know something's missing in my life. There's something that just isn't right. I'm not happy. Perhaps this is where you find yourself today. You thought you were on the right path, but now you're not so sure anymore. Right? You thought you were on the right path, but now you're not so sure anymore. The breakup in the relationship or the divorce has left you feeling empty. The situation at work right now with your boss or your coworkers has left you confused about your future. The one thing that you thought you could count on, whatever that thing is, isn't working right now in your life. And because of this, you're left looking for answers. We don't know exactly what Nicodemus was going through, just as I don't know what you're going through today or what it is that's heavy on your heart or that you're thinking about. However, we do know that he was looking for answers. Nicodemus was looking for answers. Well, how do we know this? Because he came to Jesus after dark one evening. Why? Because he needed to talk. He needed to talk. And perhaps today, you need to talk to Jesus. You need to hear from him. Well, let's see what these two talked about that evening when they got together. And perhaps it will encourage you and inspire you in your life in getting a fresh start. Let's jump right in here. John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to Jesus. He came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. It's obvious, right? We can see that. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. What is it I want you to notice here? Nicodemus addresses Jesus as Rabbi. Why is that significant? Because he didn't see Jesus as the Messiah or the Son of God. I think most of us here would say Jesus is the Messiah or Son of God. I think most of us here would probably say that. Some of you are here today and you're like, I'm not sure. I'm still exploring the faith. I haven't made a decision to live for Jesus. And that's okay. We're glad you're here. We hope this is a safe place for you to ask those questions. But I think most of us here would say he is the Messiah or Son of God. However, sometimes we don't live our lives like he is. We don't live our lives like he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Much like David Platt, this preacher, spoke here in the beginning. Right? There's so many out there that say that they're a Christian, but they don't really live like they're a Christian, and odds are they're probably not a Christian. What happens when we don't live our lives like he is the Messiah or the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? We cannot see the kingdom of God. When we don't live our lives like he is the Messiah us new life. He's given us a fresh start, a new beginning. Listen to what Jesus says here in verses 5 and 6. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Well, what is it we're capable of reproducing? A human life, not a spiritual life. A human life, not a spiritual life. What is it we need in order to have a spiritual life? Or who is it we need in order to have a spiritual life? We need Jesus, right? We need Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can take away the emptiness in our life. He died so we could be made whole again. He is the only one who can give us direction when it comes to our future. Maybe you're here this morning, you're like, Ed, I don't know what to do next in this situation that I'm in. He's the only one who can give you direction. Why? Because he is the only one who knows the future. He is the only one you can count on when things aren't working. He is the answer to all our problems. We shouldn't be surprised by this. And yet sometimes we act as if we are. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I am constantly operating out of the flesh instead of the Spirit. I'm living by what I can see instead of by sight. Maybe you can say, yes, Ed, I do the same things. Continuing on in verses 7 and 8. So don't be surprised when I say, Jesus says, so don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are people born of the Spirit? People are born of the Spirit when they place their faith in Jesus. Ephesians 1:13 says, having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. The moment you put your faith in Jesus, he seals you up with his Spirit. He changes you from the inside out. Nicodemus hadn't done this yet. And that's why he asked Jesus, how is this possible? Let's continue on here in verse 9. How is this possible? How are all these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? What is it Jesus was talking about here? Jesus is talking about things that really matter. What is it that really matters? Where we will spend our eternity. Where we will spend our eternity. Life is short. Life is short. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul had to say about the time that remains? Let's look here. 1 Corinthians 7:29. Paul says this, but let me say this, dear brothers and sisters. The time that remains is very short. So from now on, those with wives should not focus only on their marriage. Those who weep or who rejoice or who buy things should not be absorbed by their weeping or their joy or their possessions. All I can say is, Lord, please forgive me, for I'm often absorbed by the things of this world. Those who use the things of this world should not become attached to them. For this world, as we know it, will soon what? Pass away. And yet we try to get all we can, hold on to all we can, and it will soon pass away. If everything will soon pass away, what should we be doing right now? Let me tell you what God has done for you. He died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you, for your sins, past and present and future. Jesus said it like this in John 3:16. You all know the verse. You can quote it to me. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is how God showed his love for the world. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. What is it people are afraid of today? What are people afraid of today? Being judged. I don't want anyone to judge me. That's why people a lot of times stay away from church. For good reason, right? Because there are often is a lot of judgmental people in churches today. Right? So they just stay away. I don't want anyone to judge me. What's the good news? God didn't send his Son into the world to judge it, but to save it. John 3:17. Jesus said, God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world from him. Who then will be judged? Anyone who doesn't believe in him. Anyone who doesn't believe in Jesus. Verse 18. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Why don't people believe in Jesus? Why don't people believe in Jesus? I mean, really believe. We have this intellectual belief. Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Even the demons believe in Jesus, but they're obviously not in heaven. I'm talking about a heart belief, a life-changing belief, a transformation. Because they love the darkness more than the light. Why don't people believe in Jesus? Because they love the darkness more than the light. They love the things of this world. They're absorbed by it and attached to it. And it's a constant battle. Verse 19. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light. They love the things of this world more than the creator of this world. For their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light. They come to Jesus so others can see that they are doing what God wants. What's my fear? What's my fear? That we, you and me, love the darkness, love the things of this world more than we love Jesus. If I'm being really honest, I'm probably guilty of that. In fact, I know I am. Loving the things of this world more than I love the Lord. Please forgive me, God, and help me. Why do I say we love the things of this world more than the light? More than Jesus? Because we often do the same things everybody else does. We go to the same places, watch the same TV shows and movies, use the same language. What is it we need to do? What do we need to do as Christians? We need to put to death those sinful, earthly things that are lurking within us. The heart is desperately wicked. The Lord says in Jeremiah, right? Who knows how wicked it is? We need to put these the more my sin just smacks me in my face, and I say, oh my gosh, I'm so far from where I need to be. I have so many issues in my life. Lord, help me, cleanse me, change me, heal me. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. I am greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, let's call them what they are, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things. Sometimes I still do these things. Because there's a battle, there's a war going on in my mind, making me a prisoner of the sin that is still within me. Paul says in Romans 7, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will rescue me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the answer. You used to do these things, past tense, when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger. You shouldn't be angry. But a lot of times, I am angry. You shouldn't have rage, malicious behavior, slander. You shouldn't talk bad about other people, your neighbor, your boss, or your coworker. But I do. And dirty language, you shouldn't use the language everybody else uses today. Don't lie to each other. You have stripped off your old sinful nature and all those wicked deeds. That's not who you are. If you're a Christian, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Yes, Lord Jesus, I want to be renewed. I want to become more like You. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters. And He lives in all of us, those of us who are Christians. Why don't we live like Christ is all that matters? Why don't we live like Christ is all that matters? I think because just like John's disciples that we're going to look at here in a moment in John chapter 3, just like his disciples were jealous and were selfish. We want all the attention to be on us. Verse 26, John 3, 26. So John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the river, on the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people, and everybody is going to him instead of coming to us. We don't like that. They're going to that church down the road. I'm not worried about that church down the road. I'm worried about what God has called us to do as a church. What's our job? To prepare the way for Him. To prepare the way for Him. What does that mean? It means we need to get out of the way. When I come up here to preach or teach or whatever you want to call this time, I always pray, Lord, help me to do this for an audience of one. I pray that I would disappear, that people would see you in me and want to get to know you. And these are things we should all be praying for. Why? Because He must become greater and greater, and we must become less and less. Let me say that again. He must become greater and greater in our lives and in our church, and we must become less and less. I think we got that backwards, okay? Continuing on in verse 27, John replied, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you. I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for Him. It's all about Him. He is, it is the bridegroom who marries the bride. And the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with them and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. the exact opposite. This world is all about self-promotion. Right? It's all about promoting itself. We don't exist to promote ourselves, but Him. Let me tell you about Jesus. Why? Because He is from above and is greater than anyone else. We, on the other hand, are of the earth, and we speak of these earthly things down here that have no eternal value or significance, and yet I talk about these things all the time. Things like the Lions, football, or some other thing that has no meaning, value, or significance whatsoever. And yet these are the things I talk about. Forgive me, Lord. He testifies about what He has seen and heard. That is Jesus. Unfortunately, very few really believe what He tells them. Nevertheless, they should believe. Why? Because what He says in His Word is the truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. Make us holy by the truth. Your Word is truth. The truth's not out there. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Continuing on, 31 through 35. He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are on the earth and we speak of earthly things. But He has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. He testifies about what He has seen and heard, but how very few truly believe, really believe what He tells them. Anyone who accepts this testimony can affirm that God is true, for He is sent by God. He speaks God's word, for God gives Him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has put everything into His hands. What is it I want you to know as we close? If you believe in God's one and only Son, there's no limit to what you can do. Let me say that again. If you believe in God's one and only Son, there is no limit to what you can do. God the Father loves you just like He loves His one and only Son. He's giving you everything you need for this life. Giving you everything you need for life and godliness. He has given you a fresh start. Walk in it. Live it. Be it. Last verse in John 3:36 says this. And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I haven't been obeying Him. I haven't been doing what God wants me to do, and I know it. I know it personally. In my marriage or in my workplace where I work, I know I haven't been obeying Him and doing what He wants me to do. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I never have. I'm like the people He talked about in this opening video. Well, I know about Jesus, but I don't know Him. He hasn't become my personal Lord and Savior. And I want to give Him my heart and my life today. Well, you can do that. You pray to the Lord, ask Him to forgive you for your sins. Ask Him to come into your heart and change you, and He will. We're going to close with a prayer here like we normally do. And then we're going to play one more video closing clip from this